Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a better Muslim, purify my thought. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Shaitan. And I submit totally, God, my word is born. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness. And it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard. But I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord. Cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none. Just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say. But I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenant. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real. And help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. But if it's your will for me to go, then I'm going in the wind. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard. But what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live. And she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family. And the fact that I can is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me. Feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I sign Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck broke down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fool, it's in my blood for show. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off. And killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is this because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Oh Allah, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knots. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Allah, please help me to endure my trials. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me Allah is surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostle. So please grant to me success, Lord, Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen, amen.
All right, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our nation greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum, And I am so honored and so thrilled to be here tonight with one of our brightest stars in the Nation of Islam. We're going to sit back and enjoy an evening with the star that we know as Problem 13. I know him as Brother Alexander, and I sometimes have to call him P13, and I sometimes got to call him the Wolverine, but to me, he's my Brother Alexander, better known as Problem 13. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, queen.
How are you?
I'm good, by Allah's grace. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we're just going to have a candid conversation. Brother Prob, what's going on with you?
Oh, well, it's not going on, you know, life, the grind, you know, trying to get these downloads sold, these CDs sold, trying to get it popping, you know, working on
yes,
the new mixtape,
absolutely.
Working on the new mixtape, The Return of the Wolverine, trying to get that ready by February. I already started promoting it, so, you know, now I got to make the word, you know, the word came first, and then we had to make the word flesh, you heard me?
I feel you. So, you know, I think a lot of us know you through your music. And, you know, I think it's just a fetish or so, and maybe it's just me talking, speaking for myself. But we always want to know our artists better. And to me, it makes for a better support mechanism. So not only are we going to listen to your music, Brother Alexander, but we're also going to do an interview so we can just learn more about the brother that we call Problem 13. So
yes, ma'am.
Let's go back a few years. And I know it's a very few years because you're still quite a young man. So what kind of child was Problem 13?
Well, you would have to ask the years. You have to determine the years because I was a different child before the age of 10 than I was after the age of 10.
Okay, so wherever you want to start.
I was a typical child. Well, no, I wasn't a typical child. No, I ain't gonna say that. You know, I was the child that before the age of 10, before my preteen to teenage years, you know, I was the straight A student slash nerd slash, you know, I was the guy that got bullied. You know, I was the little kid that got bullied by the other little kids and got teased. You know, and then, you know, things started happening. You know, things were happening at home, you know, that was affecting my outview, my outlook on life, you know. And then at the age of 10, you know, I just got tired of getting bullied, you know. And I got into a little school fight, you know what I'm saying, and I lost the fight. But, you know, my mom used to always tell me when I used to come home crying and coming home from getting jumped on and beat up or whatever, my mom used to always tell me, I'm waiting for the day for your father to come out of you, because my father had a reputation all by itself, you know, and I am my father's son. And I guess at the age of 10, that's when he came out, because I got tired of getting bullied. And after I lost that fight, he thought the fight was over, but nobody told me. So, you know, picked up an object, you know what I'm saying? And when I picked up that object, you know, that changed my life, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to get into the details of what happened, but needless to say, I didn't get bullied anymore. And then, you know, I started hanging out more with the cool kids. And then, of course, my mom, she was going through her changes because she had me when she was very young. So she was 15 when she had me. So she tried her best in my younger years, but, you know, eventually, you know, the desire to want to be out and party and be with friends and things of that nature, things that she missed out on giving birth to me at 15, you know, she got caught up out there. So, you know, there was a lot of drug addiction and a lot of things going on in the house that ran me to the streets. And at the time, I was living in Chicago, so when I ran to the streets, I ran with the Black Gangster Disciples. And that's when I started becoming, you know, a different child, you know what I'm saying? After what happened at school, I went to juvenile for a year after that. When I came out of juvenile, it was different, you know. It was different. It was on and popping. You know, I wasn't thinking about school, straight A's, none of that. You know, so, I mean, they say you officially drop out at the age of 16, but, you know, I was going to school just to go. I wasn't doing no schoolwork. I wasn't trying to do none of that. And then when crack hit the scene, it was time to get money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I did that for a minute and ended up I didn't go to prison at first, but I ended up getting caught out there and got put on probation. Probation is just a way to, you know, set you up for prison. You know what I'm saying? Because if they give you 5 years probation, if you do 4 years and you mess up, they don't give you the credit of that 4 years when they send you to prison. You got to start all over from scratch. So while I'm on probation, Allah blessed me to find the Nation of Islam. You know, I already was familiar with Islam from my trips to New York when I was a child, and, you know, I was studying under the 5%. So I was already familiar with the lessons and supreme wisdom and all that, but, you know, I got registered. And then when I got registered, I ended up violating probation on some other stuff and ended up getting sent to prison. I did 3 years in prison. But we didn't let my child, we already in prison.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, I want to ask you something else, Brother Problem. Maybe other people have not made this observation, but I know I have personally. Are you what they would consider, which I know it's all a part of the original family, are you biracial?
No, I wouldn't use that term, biracial. My mother is a black woman born on the island of Cuba. You know, and my father, a black man born on the island of Jamaica. So my mother's what they would call Afro-Cuban. There's a term they would use for her.
Oh.
So, no, it's not biracial. It's not biracial, but I am multi-ethnic.
Oh, okay. That's the correct terminology. Multi-ethnic. Okay,
right.
Because you speak Spanish.
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I'll be dropping I'm working on some Spanish songs now and probably make the mixtape.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you say some parts in Spanish to our Spanish-speaking believers and family?
Why are you going to put me on the spot?
Come on
like
now.
It got to be in the context of conversation. What you
okay,
want me to say?
So,
tell me what you want me to say, and I'll say it. Tell me what you want me to say, and I'll say it. I'll translate
okay.
it in Spanish.
All right. Let me see. What do I want you to say in Spanish?
Uh-huh,
I want
so
you to
easy,
tell
huh?
me. Oh, you know me. I'll come up with something. Tell me. Oh, goodness. I can't even think of anything I want
see,
you to that, say.
Now you know how Spanish people feel every time somebody says say something in Spanish. Now you know how I feel.
I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I just wanted to hear. I think to me, and this is just me, this is my opinion, I think Spanish is such an adorable language, and it's just not one that I've tried to learn how to speak because I've already determined it's too difficult for me, and maybe I'm just being lazy, but I love to hear people speak Spanish. I think it's very important that we learn the language, so I'm going to ask you to tell us in Spanish, how are you doing today?
Ah, yo estoy muy bien, tú sabes, en la lucha, tratando de seguir para adelante en el nombre de Dios.
Okay. Okay, that'll work. That'll work. Wow. So that does that mean that you have a dual audience, so to speak? I mean, because it's not just black people in particularly, but you have a Spanish audience as well, or you just really haven't made anything yet, but we know it's coming.
When I was doing the street stuff, you know, before New Beginning Mixtape Volume 1, which dropped in 2009, I came back to the Nation in 2008. I was back out in the world trying to get a record deal, you know, going about it the wrong way. And I was dropping some Spanish joints on my mixtapes, and I got a small little Spanish following, you know, but most of the Spanish people or Spanish-speaking people that know me today, they're registered in the Nation, and they know me through the Nation. And a lot of them don't even know. It's going to be quite a surprise for those that get the CD at Savior's Day when they hear that song. They're going to be a lot of people are going to be quite shocked.
Mm-hmm.
See, I had to hide my not really hide it, but, okay, see, in Miami, Florida is a different type of mentality. You know, Miami, the level of ignorance of the city of Miami, Florida, I haven't really been to any other city that matches it. You know what I'm saying? So when I moved, I came down here when I was 14 because of all the trouble I was getting into, you know, running the streets, because my mother's drug addiction and her neglect of the home, you know, social services was trying to snatch me up. And my grandmother ended up intervening, and she brought me down here to Miami to live with her. When I moved down here, I realized that down here, black is not black, meaning that if you are, if you're a so-called African-American in Miami, the only people you view as black are other African-Americans. It don't matter how black your skin is. If you speak Spanish, if you speak Creole, you're from Haiti, you weren't considered black. See what I'm saying? And it's particularly if you spoke Spanish, if you speak Spanish, no matter your skin color, you're still a cracker. That's how they see it down here. For a while, I used to have to carry a picture of George Bush, not George W. Bush, the first George Bush. I have to carry a picture of him, and when they come up with that conversation while I'm in the truck, and they come up with that conversation, I got to pull out this picture and say, man, look, that's a cracker. Now, do I look anything like this? You know, and I got into a lot of fights because of it, because once they hear me speak Spanish, they view me differently. So for a while, I just stopped speaking the language because I didn't want to deal with that. I didn't want the language to be a barrier of not being accepted by my own people, and unfortunately, it's like that in Miami, Florida. You know, but then as I matured and I grew, particularly in the teachings, I stopped giving a damn. And that's when I started writing Spanish music as well as English music. And it's like, you know, my whole perspective was, you know, yo, look, if you want to find out how black I am, cross the line, you'll find out. So after that, I didn't care anymore, sir. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I'm so, I speak English so fluently and so well, and people can't, off the bat, people can't look at me and tell, you know what I'm saying, that I have Spanish ethnicity in my family, you know, and that's because the original man adjusted to all his environments and all his situations, and that's what I did. When I moved down to Miami, Florida, I adjusted. It wasn't an issue in Chicago. Well, it's an issue in Chicago. In Chicago, it's like that too now. If you're on the south side or on the west side, I don't know about now, but back then, it was like that as well. You know, there wasn't too many Spanish-speaking people. Today, I hear that there's, you know, a lot of, I hear about Latin Kings being on the south side of Chicago. That was unheard of back in the day, you know, but now today I'm hearing that it's going down like that. But back when I was there, it was the same thing, but it wasn't as bad as here in Miami.
Wow. Wow.
You know, I was still recognized.
It just goes to tell you we got a long way to go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was always recognized as a young black male in Chicago, just a young black male that spoke Spanish. And in New York, you know, when I lived in New York, forget about it. You know, everybody knows black is black, no matter what language you speak. You know what I'm saying? That never was the issue. I only came across that when I moved down here.
Mhm. Okay, so now, before you were Problem 13, you also had a rap career, more, for lack of a better word, more on the secular side, because you do conscious rap right now, but you also got some street credit out there.
I was straight thugging, you know what I'm saying, straight thugging, brawling with Trick Daddy. I mean, it was on and popping. You know, my whole thing with hip-hop, I've always viewed hip-hop as art imitating life. You know, that's how I've always viewed hip-hop from its inception. So, you know, the more my music had to reflect, I was trying to cater to the industry. So I grew up living the thug life, so it wasn't new to me. You know, I was a little gangbang, I was a little hustler, you know, so it wasn't new to me. You know, but now trying to get into this industry, I had to pump up the volume. And I had to make sure you wasn't going to catch me out there as a fraud, a fake, or a liar. So, and after that I had the teachings in me. See, it's something about any, and I think anyone who has experienced this can bear witness. When you come into the nation and you get these teachings and you go back out into the world, at least for me, I was worse. I was a worser thug after the teachings. Something about the teachings just makes you, I guess you could say, not just fearless, but just when you out there in the world and you really know there ain't no mystery God, you know what I'm saying? You know that everything is real. you know, it just makes you that much more better criminal, you know, for a better way of saying it. So I was out there, I was doing it big, and I was crazy and wilding, and nobody could tell me nothing, you know what I'm saying? And then I was putting that into the music, you know, and I have a pretty nice following in locally, in the hood. I have a pretty nice following, and a lot of people applaud with the transition that I have made. You know what I'm saying, with my music and with my life. You know, a lot of people that knew me when I was out there, they see me out there with the paper, they're very happy. I'm glad you are here and not in my living room, nigga.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, I was terrible.
Goodness.
Oh, I was terrible. Oh, so, I was terrible. I'm not even going to all the details, but yeah, I was terrible.
Okay, so what was your name then? What name did you go
well,
by
initially,
at that point?
Well, I was Problem. I became Problem 13 in 2000, and before Problem 13, I was Coolie Rock, and Coolie Rock was semi-conscious. Coolie Rock was just coming into the nation, just got registered. Coolie Rock wasn't that serious with the business. Coolie Rock never put out a mixtape. Coolie Rock was just about freestyling and battling, you know. And I was semi-conscious, you know. I was injecting the teachings into the music back then. But then I left rap altogether, you know what I'm saying? And when I decided to come back, I came back as Problem 13, and that's a whole different dude from Coolie Rock.
Hmm.
And this Problem 13 is a whole different dude from that Problem 13.
Really?
I'm in the nation now, you know what I'm saying? I ain't smoking weed. I ain't in the strip club, you know. I'm living a righteous life. Back then when I was doing the what you call secular stuff, I was dead, sis. I was in the world. I was a savage. You know what I'm saying? Even though I had the teachings, I had the supreme wisdom, I had the knowledge of self, you know what I'm saying? I was a straight savage, a savage that knew that he was God. You know, a savage that knew the truth. A savage that knows after death you ain't going to no heaven or no hell. You're going back to the earth you came from. These teachings, man, these teachings are very powerful. And if you don't handle it right, you know what I'm saying? You know, you can really be out there.
You can get got, huh?
you can get Satan to get you. Satan to get you.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the biggest gangsters or so-called gangsters in our history here in America, you know, were involved with the teachers. You look at the Supreme Team in New York, they were all 5%ers. You look at the Black Mafia family in Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying, they were allegedly registered FOI. You know what I'm saying? And these was notorious, you know, they had their reputation, you know what I'm saying, it was worthy of the reputation that they earned themselves. You know what I'm saying? These teachings, you know, they take you to another level if you live in an unrighteous life. And I know because I experienced it.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, Brother Prob, we have a lot of your music that we want to listen to. And I want to put a disclaimer out there because, you know, this is Blog Talk Radio. And so it does not do the music any justice because I listened to it from your website. And it is a totally different sound. It's more clarity to it if you go to Brother Prob's website and listen to it. So, Brother Prob, give them your website before we start playing music so that in the event they want to listen with more clarity, they can.
Yeah, lookingforproblem.com. Lookingforproblem.com. And I want to apologize for, you know, the URL being so long, you know, but initially it was going to be footinthedevilsassallday.com, but I decided that was too long, so I decided to go with lookingforproblem.com.
Yes, sir. And let me remind the listening audience, after we play this song, if you have questions or comments for Brother Alexander or Problem 13, whatever you want to call him today, please press 1 on your dial pad, and when I come back, I'll be more than happy to take your questions or your comments. So let me ask you, Brother Prob, what's your favorite song right now, if you have one?
My favorite song of mine? Of my own music, you mean?
Yes.
I don't have one.
You don't have
I have some that I like more than others. I don't have one particular favorite one. I like the freestyle. I like them all because it's my own music, but the freestyle, I was real happy with how I did that on the Wolverine mixtape. There's several freestyles. The freestyle I'm talking about is the one next to the last song on the Wolverine mixtape. I really loved how that record came out. Slaughterhouse, but I don't really have a favorite. I have some that I'm more happy with than others, but I don't even really have one particular favorite.
Why don't you tell me about the song, I Ain't Playing No Games? What is that one about?
Well, I Ain't Playing No Games is basically, I always wanted to do something on that beat. And, when I had the opportunity, I brought up the beat and just hold on, because I have my son tugging at my pants. What you want, man? What you want? take it back. No, I only do chocolate and banana, man. I don't do vanilla. I'm sorry, y'all. I sent my son to the store for some Muscle Milk, and he brought me the wrong flavor. Hey, you got to take this back, man. I don't like vanilla. They don't got chocolate? All right, forget it then. Get my money back. Make it happen. So what was the question again, sister? I apologize for that.
No problem. No, I was asking you about I Ain't Playing No Games.
Yeah, I Ain't Playing No Games. It's just some things that I wanted to say. At that time, that was on my heart, and I said it on that beat. I always wanted to do something on that beat. That's one of my favorite all-time instrumentals, that particular beat right there. And I've always wanted to do something on it, so, I snatched the beat up, and what was on my heart at that time is what I put on there, And that time, there was a couple things going on, and, I mentioned, Fake Believers just briefly, and that was something that was bothering me. Our brother could be all in your grill, how he love you, and he your brother and all that, but he can't buy a CD. Now, he can't buy a CD the first CD you drop. He can't buy a CD the second CD you drop. He can't buy a CD the third CD you drop. Man, you ain't never supported me, man. How you going to tell me you my brother? You know what I'm saying? You can't support me now. So, I mentioned that in the music and as well as other things that was troubling me at that time. Letting them know, man, I ain't playing no games. I ain't playing no games. This is not a game.
Okay, all right, well, here we go. We're going to listen to this song that you love so much, the instrumentals of it anyway. I Ain't Playing No Games by Problem 13. Here we go.
Problem13.net.
Problem 13, I'm still on my theme. Still looking clean, coming hard on the track. I rule the mic like a king, Master Farrar got my back. Believers keep telling me, keep on bringing it. Just like I'm bringing it, don't change a thing in it. They say P13, man, you shining hard. I want to read about you in the final call. They should interview you in the paper. I tell them if it's the will of Allah, it'll happen sooner or later. But I'ma still keep pushing, final call on the block. Let the people know the time, cause we all on the clock. Tick tock, tick tock, feel the fire, it's hot. Garbage rap, it's not, this is real hip hop. Pure and uncut, no additives or preservatives. Pass me the mic and call the cops, cause I'm a murderer. It's Problem 13, I ain't playing no games.
The maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth.
On the warpath and I'm bringing the pain.
Asiatic black man,
God of the universe.
It's Shadu, illa ilaha illallah. Without a record deal, P13 still a star. Killing all rappers that like spitting trash. All these fake rappers on the mic getting smashed. I'm hurling Jupiter fossil till I'm knocking out his brain. I don't do this for the money and it's not about the fame. I do this for the brotherhood. I represent the FOI like a brother should. But I know every brother don't got love for me. You say you're my brother but never bought one CD, huh? If the shoe fits, wear it. Along with your suit and bow tie, phony smile and fake spirit. Cause the great Chuck D already told me, every brother ain't a brother, homie. I see right through you, who you think you fooling? I return your phony greetings and I keep it moving. It's Problem 13, I ain't playing no games.
The maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth.
On the warpath and I'm bringing the pain.
God of the universe.
Give me a hot track, I'ma ride it for show. Rep Separat
squad, F-O-I to the coat. I never turn into a Sunni, Sufi or a Shia. Bring the flavor like a bean pie, baked by Minister B out. I never bite my tongue, I tell it like I see it. Those who love it will love it, and those who hate it, so be it. Hypocrites, get the middle finger, now that's real. Ain't no other way to say it, that's just how I feel. Cause when it comes to hypocrites, I get real ferocious. Like Tony Montana, man, I crush those cockroaches. I'm the truth on the mic, man, it's P1. To the three and other rappers, I don't see none. I got a shot, brother, purvey and say, I appreciate what you did for me last Savior's Day. Thank you, big brother, I'll never forget it. The new CD is out and I'ma make sure that you get it. I got plenty fans around the nation knowing my style. I bring it rough like the hood and I flow like the Nile. As long as I live, I'll be bringing it hot. You got another thing coming if you think that I'm not. It's problem 13, I ain't playing no games.
The maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth.
On the warpath and I'm bringing the pain.
God of the universe.
Wow. I like that. I like that. I can rock to that. I can do that even at my old age. I can crib walk off of that.
You ain't that old, sis.
Oh, brother, please. Thank you for the compliment, beloved. Okay, so now, Brother Alexander, I want to ask you, well, you know what, before we do that, I did promise questions, so let me remind you, those of you who have questions for Little Problem 13, please press one of your dial pads. Those for you who are in the chat rooms, my Yahoo chat is down, but my Google and my Blog Talk chat is up. So those of you who couldn't get me on Yahoo, if you called in and you want to use the chat room, my Google, you know my Google is YGB, Young, Gifted, and Black, YGB Live at gmail.com. And my Blog Talk is open. So let's take a call from Chicago, but he ain't in Chicago. I know who this is. As-salamu alaykum, 773.
Walaykum salam, walaykum salam. How's the family?
I know that voice anyway.
We are we are here. Uh-huh.
I got a question. For problem 13, how does it feel about God in this rap industry, brother? Or shall I say, God outside the rap industry and killing the damn industry? How does it feel, brother?
Well, I haven't made the impact that I want to make yet, so you're going to have to ask me that question in a little bit more in the future. Right now, I don't feel no way right now because I haven't made the impact that I desire to make.
Oh, brother, you're making more of an impact than you think you're making, brother. Tonight you make
praise
an impact.
Praise be to Allah.
Believe me.
Praise be to
praise
Allah.
Praise be to Allah. And we're happy to be hosting your listening party here on Nation Building Radio. We are very thankful to Almighty God Allah that we have a voice that's speaking to us out there not in the rap industry, but outside the rap industry. And we're trying to get our foot in the door so we can get a message to our people. You know what I'm saying? So it's a blessing to have you, out there doing your thing, soldiering you on the corner. You know, you with the FOI, you know, you doing the problem. You giving 13 problems to everybody. You know what I'm saying? It's funny how 13 problems can affect the whole, man, how many devils on the planet? I don't know. But 13 problems, brother, just affecting the whole devil community. I mean, damn. I mean, you blowing them up, brother. I love it.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
I'm happy to be here as well.
Oh, man, it's a blessing, brother. Sister Queen Aziza, Queen Entertainment, Lord have mercy. What can I say about Queen Entertainment? This is royalty right here. I'm serious. You, everybody out there in radio land, you listening to royalty. You got the God, Problem 13. Matter of fact, you got Queen Aziza and King Aziz. You know what I'm talking about? y'all didn't catch that. Did they catch it? I don't know if they caught it or not. But if you didn't catch it the first time, let me tell you again, you got Queen Aziza and the God Aziz. You know what I'm saying? Hey, they blowing up the scene tonight. So if you are listening in, I'm telling you, you're being blessed right now with the sounds of the magnificent King Aziz, a.k.a. Problem 13. Damn
praise
it, you got a problem. If you ain't listening to this station right now, you got 13 damn problems coming at you soon as the radio show is over with, because when you get on Facebook,
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? I want to talk about that a little bit, Brother Joaquin, because Queen Entertainment is actually new because, you know, everything we do on Blog Talk, we do it under Nation Building Movement. And, of course, Brother Alexander, Brother Problem, I guess I better call him Problem 13. I don't want people to get it twisted. Problem 13 has been a part of Nation Building Movement for a very long time. He is the godfather of Young Gifted and Black. He is the first artist that we featured on that program. And so working with Problem 13, which he probably doesn't know, but after tonight he will know that if it was not for Problem 13, that would not be Queen Entertainment. And, you know, just from dealing with him and talking to him and, you know, Queen Entertainment was kind of born because there are a lot of things that I'm envisioning that we can do with Queen Entertainment. And it's not separate from Nation Building Movement, but it's separate from Nation Building Movement. You know what I'm saying? Nation Building Movement is more educational and dialogue, but Queen Entertainment is really about supporting black artists. And, of course, one of the artists that is on Queen Entertainment or under Queen Entertainment, of course, is Problem 13. Who else? So Problem 13, whether you know it or not, you are the reason behind Queen Entertainment.
But all I can say is all praises are due to Allah.
Well, there's always got to be a king behind a queen. You know what I'm saying? Always got to be a king behind a queen or vice versa. It always got to be, you know what I'm saying? And you always hear that name, Aziz, Aziza, you know, big sister, little brother. Man, hey, how the hell can you go wrong with this? I love it when a plan comes together like this, you know what I'm saying?
Praise
this is the plan, you know what I'm saying? It was already written before it even happened, you know what I'm saying? It happened before it happened. Y'all ain't get it, did you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Okay, we're going to get back to this interview before we get to some more music, but I got a question for you out of the chat room, Brother Problem, that I'm going to let you answer to Sherelle KLM, okay, and Jennifer. Okay, Brother Problem 13, they want to know if you married, and I'm going to let you answer them.
Yes, I am married. Yes, I am married.
Yeah. Yes, he is married, sisters. I'm so sorry. Because they will say, he's so fine. He's fine, and he got a fine wife at home. So you heard it from him.
Yes.
It ain't me hating. I just want to make it clear that, you know, he's married. So, no, he's not on the market, sisters. I'm so sorry.
I want to say something, sisters. I apologize for the brother being married, but I'm going to tell you something. If he wasn't married, best believe.
For that.
I would have, listen.
That. Go ahead.
If he wasn't married, I would have married his ass off a long time ago to one deserving sister. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, the brother is already married to a deserving sister. So, you know, y'all got to try again. As a matter of fact, you may want to try for Problem 14. He may be inspired by Problem 13. He may want to come along, and you may want him.
Actually, there is. He's not called Problem 14, but I am in the process of developing my son. He's 18. He goes under the name Dat Boy Quint. He's featured on the Wolverine mixtape, and the boy is tight. He already thinks he's as tight as me. But he definitely has the potential to be tighter. No, but seriously, he has the potential to be tighter than me because he's pretty tight at 18. He's I raised the boy right. You know what I'm saying? It's in his DNA. And, you know, he's 18 now, sisters, but if y'all wait a couple years, you know what I'm saying? He's you could say he's my twin, but he's not my twin because he was fortunate to be born into Islam. So, he grew up eating the right foods and doing the right, making the right decisions. So because of that, he's like 6'4" right now at 18. You know, all my children are tall. The reason I'm not tall is because I started smoking cigarettes and weed at the age of 11. So that stunted my growth. You know, but if y'all sisters wait, you know, a couple more years, he'd be right.
Yes, sir.
Well, not a couple, 4 or 5. Yes, he is. Yes, he
okay.
is a registered FOI. No, I want him to marry an MGT because I don't want him to go through that madness. But anyway, that's a whole different show.
Yes, that's another different show. And I want to get back to this interview, Brother Prob. Brother Rakim, are you going to stay with us or do I need to mute your phone?
No, sis, I'm here, big sis, I'm here. This is my brother right here. You know, I got to represent, you know what I'm saying? I got to represent Nation Building Movement. You know I got to represent Proud 13. I got to represent Queen Entertainment. I got to represent for the nation, you know what I'm saying? I got to do the damn thing tonight here, you know, on Nation Building Radio, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, let's get the show going. Keep it going.
Okay. It's somebody's phone that's making a lot of noise. Is that you,
that's
Brother Rakim?
That's my phone. I'm sorry. No, that's me. I'm walking through the spot, and I was in the kitchen to kiss my wife, and she's cooking. So that's what you heard was you heard that oven, that stove, whatever, that stove top pot.
Okay. Now, Brother Bob, I want to talk to you about what's going on in the street. Because not only are you an artist, but you're also a father of sons. And then, you know, there's another side to this rap game as well, because you have people who are out there who have lived the life that they rap about, and you got those that are perpetrating the fraud. And at some point, those who are in the life run into those who are rapping about the life, and there's conflict with artists and just regular street people. And, you know, when people are thinking about getting into this artistry, everybody's under the impression now that you have to rap the gangster rap, whether you know anything about it or not. So I wanted you to talk to me about what's really going on in this rap game today.
Well, Dan, that's a very deep question. The answer is kind of long-winded. The devil has a plan. You know, in the nation of Islam, we don't believe in no spook devil, you know, in the ground with a pitchfork and a tail and horns, you know. The devil is real, real live human being, and he has a plan, you know. Many years ago, when rap was at its conscious level in the late 80s, some men met, and they determined men from the prison complex industry and men met with, these were powerful men, or all powerful men, that met with men that are in charge of the industry. And, of course, all of these are Ashkenazi Jews, which are not real Jews. You know, they just claim to be Jews, but are really of the synagogue of Satan, as Jesus said in the scriptures. But anyway, these Ashkenazi Jews sat in a meeting to try to find a way for their business, the prison complex business, to be successful. Now, of course, in America, they already know there's a certain statistic of how many people are going to be arrested. You know, they wanted to increase that. So the conscious rap started becoming more gangster, more of a message of self, a degenerative message, a self-destructive message, and that became more prevalent. So now in the industry, they won't even get behind you unless you're talking certain things, unless you're giving certain messages. The industry won't even get behind you. The machine won't even get behind you. So a person who has no principles, has no ethics, you know, and just has a desire to have money, you know, they're going to do whatever they have to do to get on, even if it's sell out their own soul. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear the term sell your soul, you know, they think about, you know, the sign your name in blood and you actually sign a contract with the devil. Those things go on too, but you don't necessarily have to go through that to sell your soul. You know, selling your soul is basically just going against principles that you once believed and stood for, and you gave up those principles for a desire for money and fame. You have sold your soul, and that's what's going on in the industry. And what's going on with the dudes that are really about it is, see, the industry wants to promote this message, but they don't want nothing to do with no real thugs. You understand? Real thugs ain't going to get successful. What happened with 50 Cent was pure luck. See, when 50 Cent, they was already, you know, trying not to deal with him because Irv Gotti was calling the industry around saying, look, you don't want to mess with 50. He's for real. Like, he's really about this. You don't want him in your offices, in your studios. You don't want him around your business. He's really about that. So the industry, the cats that were listening to Irv Gotti, they were already peeping. And then once he got shot, he was on a label. I think it was with MCA. I'm not sure who he was signed with at the time, but they dropped him when he got shot, when he took the 9 bullets. And it was Eminem who saved his career. If it wasn't for Eminem, we wouldn't have heard of a 50 Cent because the industry is scared of a 50 Cent. So the people that are, you know, the dudes that's really about it, they're not going to get let in because they really about it. You know what I'm saying? These crackers don't want no real thugs and gangsters in their offices. You know what I'm saying? So when they look at these fake dudes and know they fake because real recognize real, they like, man, you ain't, you know, why you on and popping and you, number one, you ain't all that on the mic. You know what I'm saying? Number two, you ain't really about that life. I'm about that life, and I can't get on, and that's where the friction comes in. And these dudes that are trying to get on, you know, through getting their drug money together and trying to get into this business and being blocked by dudes that ain't really about it, you know, they thinking, you know, it's street thinking. You know what I'm saying? I got to take this nigga out. You know, and these are the conflicts that are happening between the artists that are on, that are fake, and the artists that are trying to get on that are real.
Yes, sir. Okay. Wow, that is something else. Okay, so now, what about this industry? Because I want you to tell me why should independent artists, and this is just my opinion, I'm putting it out here like this, why should they be anti-industry today? Because it seems to me that everybody's getting turned out. Everybody's getting, you know, excuse my friends, like put on holes rope.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. And the number one reason why independent artists should stay away from the industry is because they don't need the industry. Today, you know, because of the internet, because of different avenues that have been opened up to independent artists, you can get that money without the middleman. Now you might not get 50 Cent and Jay-Z money, but you still get money, and it'll be all your money. You won't be pimped out. So you don't know what Jay-Z had to do to get that money. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what Lil Wayne had to do to get that money. See, this industry is polluted with homosexuality. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, you know, dude, you know, this cracker will sit here and say, man, I'm about to give you a $5 million contract, but I need you to do me a favor. You see, now you want that $5 million contract, you know, what's the favor? You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, come over here and get on your knees right quick. Now you're thinking about it.
Oh, my.
See, once you're thinking about it, that's it. You're done. You're thinking about it. You know, let me ask y'all something. Have y'all ever noticed throughout the years you might hear of an artist buzzing and you hear about him about to blow up? You hear about him, you're hearing about this artist, and all of a sudden it's like he fell off the planet. Like you don't hear about him no more. Hey,
yeah.
Have you ever experienced that? Yeah. See, that's an artist that
like
didn't want to play
wonder.
The game. Yeah, well, not just a one-hit wonder, but didn't even get a chance to do the one hit. You just hear about them. You're hearing their name. They're buzzing. They're doing a lot of features on other people's stuff, and they're really buzzing, and you really, you know, and then all of a sudden you don't hear about them no more. You know, they feel like they fell off the planet. It's because they didn't want to go along. See, when a man said, come get on your knees, they probably said, nigga, I'll kill you. You know what I'm saying? And that's why you don't hear from them. See what I'm saying? What's my man that was blowing up? Man, I forgot his name. What's my man who was blowing up, making a lot of noise, man? Oh, what's his name? He was featured on the Busta Rhymes joint, Oh, man. You know, who remembers that Busta Rhymes song that had Mary J. Blige and Rod Digger and DMX and all them cats was on it? Who remembers that joint, the remix?
How old
he
is
he? He was on that joint, this rapper I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I just can't think of his name. And the reason I can't think of his name is because he fell off the planet. Nobody won't hear from him no more.
Wow.
He was blowing up. He was representing New York. He was making a lot of noise on the mixtape circuit. He was making a lot of noise being featured on different. Matter of fact, his verse was one of the illest verses on that Busta Rhymes remix. You know, and that Busta Rhymes remix played all over BET and 106 in Park. You know? But then all of a sudden, you don't hear from this man no more. And you have to ask yourself, well, what happened that you don't hear from him no more? What happened? I don't know what happened personally, but I have an idea. Because when you don't want to play ball, then, you know, you get put on the back burner. You get put on the shelf.
Wow.
So
that's
when you
very
look at
true.
These artists, when you look at these artists that are successful, you know, do not be fooled. You know what I'm saying? You can't be successful in the devil's world unless the devil gives you the keys, for he is the gatekeeper.
True
and
indeed.
If he gives you
true
the
indeed.
Keys, and if he gives you the keys, then you got to pay a price for that. So trust me when I tell you, I don't care how hard, I don't care how pretty his wife look, I don't care that he married to a Beyonce, these dudes involved in plenty gay homosexual activity. Look at Jay-Z's latest CD cover. Look at that, man. I don't know how people can't peep that. I only heard one person mention something about it. That cover is the most homosexual rap cover I've ever seen in my life. He got these two white statues, and the way they're positioned, they're like positioned like one is right behind the other, and they're naked. You go ahead and Google that image, Jay-Z's new album, Google the cover, and look at that cover and tell me that don't look homosexual.
You know, so I'm going to look at this cover right now.
Go look at that cover, man. It look gay as hell, man.
Oh, wow.
Now, one thing I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you all, I'm on Radio Land, one thing about Problem 13, you listen to this brother makes a lot of sense. You know, he knows about this rap industry, and if it sounds crazy to you, it's not because the brother don't know what he's talking about, it's because the industry is crazy as hell. The industry is really a satanic pit of snakes.
Man,
if you go in that industry thinking that you're going to be a rapper, I guarantee you they're going to want you to bend over or get on your knees. You're
going to
be one of the
two. Man, I ain't the only one putting this out. I mean, I'm just a dude in the nation trying to do some music. But you got celebrities that are catching hell for putting out these type of things. Look at what they're doing to Cat Williams. Because they invited Cat Williams in. They thought Cat Williams was going to be down. Cat Williams, he goes on stage and he exposes it. And they got the man looking like he's a crazy, like he breaks into houses. Now, here's a man that's successful.
Oh, yeah.
Successful comedian. They got Cat Williams looking like a crackhead. Look at DMX.
Definitely.
Look at DMX. Do y'all, let me tell y'all something, man. Do y'all really think DMX is that crazy? Come on, man.
Nah.
Come on.
Nah, I think DMX is very intelligent.
Look, go to YouTube and Google DMX interviews and listen to that man. That man ain't crazy. He ain't with the bullshit. So they make him look crazy. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Right. Okay, hold on. We got someone online. So we're going to take a question. We're going to come back. Okay, area code 901. You got a question or comment for Brother Problem 13? As soon as your mic becomes live, it's taking its time. I don't know why it's taking this time, but it is. Oh, okay, my screen is refreshing. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to refresh my screen, 901, so don't hang up, and we're going to come back to you. Okay, so, Brother Paul, are you? Oh, Waalaikum Salaam, ma'am. Can you hear us?
I can.
Okay, all praises to Allah. Yes, ma'am. You got a question or comment for Brother Paul?
I do. I got a comment for calling a couple of things. First of all praise due to Allah, Brother Palm 13, you are epitome of a change that our young brothers need, and all praise due to Allah that he gave you the gift and talent to be able to take your life and turn it to something positive to give to our youth, because we know that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. So through the raps and through the radio and through the internet, our babies are learning, and unfortunately we got more negative out there teaching them than we have positive. And this and our environment that we see is the example of what it is that they're following, which is nothing but negative entities that Satan tries to put out there. And I did go see the Jay-Z case, and yeah, it's gay all day every day. Praise be to Allah. And I got a question for you after I say this to sisters, my queens. Stop being so thirsty. If that man was not married, he would have mentioned that he's looking for a queen. Please stop being so thirsty and let Allah send you your man, please. Praise you, Allah. Now,
let me defend that sister real quick. I think they're hungry for knowledge.
Ain't nobody
wrong
with hungry for knowledge. They go read a book. Praise God. Anyway, you know I'm going to keep it real, right? I'm going to come 100.
And you know what? When I first made your mic live, sis, I didn't catch your voice, but this is my sister with her boots on the ground, straight up soldier, Sister Jamie X. That is my sister right there. All praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Go ask your question, beloved.
Oh, go ahead, brother. You want to ask
like
about
trouble.
My name? Yes, sir. I'm on Facebook today. I'm McClary, so y'all be seeing me doing my thing. Yes, sir. I stay in a whole bunch of trouble. Praise be to Allah, but it's good trouble. And then from, yes, sir, Proverbs 13. And then what I wanted to ask you, knowing what's out there and knowing that the evils that's out there and knowing that most of our young brothers look at materialistic value and materialistic growth, what do you suggest to them as far as doing for self? Because that's where we're at right now, economic development, doing for self, getting out there, making it happen, and don't allow, you know, the devil fineries to take you up off your path. What do you suggest to them? Because only thing they see is I grew up in my new Bugatti, and they see the bing bing, and they see the big houses, and they see this, and they see all the women. What do you suggest to our young men that's growing up out there, that's listening to this stuff? How can they fight their lower desires? Because that's what it is. It starts with itself. How can they fight their lower desires to go with themselves to make sure that their higher desires, their God desires, supersede their lower desires and teach them how you teach them to be patient and waiting for what God got for them and whatnot, and not being impatient and running out alone. And that's it. All praise due to Allah. Assalamu alaikum to you all.
Alaikum shalom.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Unfortunately, the answer to that question, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, is the only suggestion I have for them is to become a Muslim. But unfortunately, they're so wrapped up in the devil's world that they don't see Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? But the only salvation for our people is the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's the only thing that's going to save us. That's the only thing that's going to change our way of thinking and our way of perception. You know, and unfortunately right now, you know, I'm out there with the paper. We ain't looking for Muhammad. You know, we're looking for everything else but Muhammad. You know? And unless you come to Muhammad, you're not going to learn the principles of doing for self. You know, and unity with self, because Muhammad is the only one teaching this. So if you're not with Muhammad, you're not even being taught this. It's not being taught in school. It's not being taught in the music. It's not being taught on television. It's not being taught in the video game world. So unless you come to Muhammad, you're not even going to know. You're just out there in the dark. It's like you ever walked in a house and you can't find the light switch. You're just walking in the dark. That's how our people are, particularly our young people. And they don't hear nothing. You know, and that's the unfortunate situation that our people are in, particularly our young people. But the good news is that they're the best generation that we've ever produced since we've landed on the shores of this country. And once they do come, it's a very powerful thing that happens, that reaction, that spark, that God spark that happens in the human being when truth hits the mind and the heart. But until that truth hits the mind and the dark, you know, and the heart, we in darkness. And that's the cold truth. It's up to us as the believers to go after them, you know. And that's what I'm trying to do with my music.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. So, Brother Paul, now I know you said that you know, I know one of your sons. I'm sorry, I can't keep up. I don't think it's Brother Kareem, but either way. However many sons that you have and daughters that you have that may be inspired by you to get into this business, what would you advise them? And if
say if someone in the industry wanted to pick them up, because, see, a lot of times when you dangle that carrot, and that carrot being a so-called fat contract or whatever they do to dress it up and make it look pretty, it's very tempting. And so what advice do you give them? Because sometimes we get so addicted to the bling-bling that when they are confronted with, come on and do me this favor, as you put it, they look at where they came from, they look at where they are now and say, okay, I'm willing to make this sacrifice, I'm willing to give this up. So how do we deter them from that behavior? Because a lot of them don't know what they're getting into. A lot of people may say, well, it's just one little sex act, or it's just a down low thing, you know, and that ain't cool. That ain't cool on no level whatsoever. I don't care how much money is involved. I don't care if you got to go from living to the suites to the streets. It's not worth it. So what do you advise young people out there who are going to be confronted with this if they're getting involved in the industry?
I don't even know how to answer that, sis, because, you know, every human being, you know, has their own free will. So it's very hard to tell a man who don't got nothing, who's being offered something, to turn it down because it's not the right thing for you when they don't got nothing. You know, I don't even know how to answer a question like that. I don't know what to tell a dude like that. All I can tell a dude is what I would do. You know what I'm saying? I ain't getting on my knees. You know what I'm saying? I ain't bending over. You know what I'm saying? Leave me in the street, in the gutter, hungry and homeless. I'd rather be there than on my knees in front of you, Crocker. That's all I can tell him is what I would do. I can't, you know, you can't tell another man, don't do this, don't do that, because in the end, it's all up to what they know, what they've experienced in life and their own free will. You know, there was a time, you know, when you couldn't tell me, I had the teachers, and I was in the world, you know what I'm saying, and you couldn't tell me nothing. If I was going to invade your house, then I'm going to invade your house. If we scheming on your house, there's nothing you're going to tell me. Nobody's going to tell me nothing. I'm going to go get this money. You understand? So when you're in that situation, who's going to tell you anything? Or all you can do is hope that you know, God is with them. You understand what I'm saying? You know, that I don't even know how to answer that. That's the best way I can answer it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, and we want to talk about how, you know, this industry will eventually turn out. And not just in hip-hop music, but in the music industry, period. They have a thing called the Forever 27 Club. And there are a lot of people in that club. Jimi Hendrix is in that club. Amy Winehouse is in that club. Kurt Cobain is in that club. A lot of artists who are in that club. And so not as prevalent as it is now, but even back in that day when, I don't know about homosexuality, but when drug use and alcoholism was the way to go, sniffing cocaine, shooting heroin was the way to go, because those people who intermingled in your circle, that was the thing that was happening. And so they got this thing called the Forever 27 Club, which means that you may have some fame and some victory or whatever, some success, some money, but you could be dead. It could be over at 27,
right?
Or even sooner. So a lot of times it's not just the homosexual act. Sometimes it's your life. And I'm gonna tell you something. I don't care how much money you got. When that self-accusing spirit get on you, there is no amount of money that can bring you back to peace from that.
But now let me ask you something.
The only person that can bring you out of that grave is Allah. Yes,
Robin,
sir, go ahead.
Let me ask you something. What is the root of the self-accusing spirit?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, see, the root of the self-accusing spirit is the standard, or the rod.
Yes, sir.
Is the rod that has been placed on you. Like the Bible says, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, that has several different meanings. One meaning is, you know, whoop that ass, you know. If you don't whoop that, you're going to regret it later. But another meaning is the rod is a standard. And if you spare the rod, if you spare putting a standard in your child, then they won't have a standard on which to make good and bad decisions on. you know. So in order to have a self-accusing spirit, you have to have a soul to begin with. A person with no standards and no ethics and no principles and no scruples is a person that doesn't have a soul, doesn't have a conscience. You see?
Well,
so everyone doesn't have a self-accusing spirit.
I'm going to tell you why I said I don't know. Because let me tell you something. You can, well, let me just not say you. Let me just keep it 100. I come from a place, when I said I don't know, it's because sometimes you be so far down in the hole that if Allah don't come and get you, you just
you
don't
get
make
God.
It.
Yeah, that's real.
You just
and
don't
I was going,
make it at all.
Yeah,
and I'm one
yeah,
of those sisters who has been so far down in the
right,
mud, so far.
Right.
I wasn't even in the mud, man. I was in the grave. I was
yeah,
in the grave.
Yeah.
In a spiritual,
there.
Mental grave. I don't give a damn about nothing, nobody. You can break my plate. I ain't got to come back to the house. That's how I roll. And
right.
it took a lot for me to even develop a self-accusing system. Yes, when there's a rod that is established and knowing I grew up Muslim all my life. Yes, that rod is established, but it's about a choice. And
right.
it's about remembering that you have a choice. But sometimes you get so far off in the game. Sometimes you get so far off in the hustle. Sometimes you get so far off in the lies. You get so far off in the life that you forget
right.
that you ever even had a rod that establishes
right.
the
right.
discipline that gives you a principle. Sometimes that happens, and I can't speak for nobody else, and that's why I didn't want to do a comparison. I'm just going
right.
to tell the truth about
well,
me and point the
thing.
Finger at
it's
me.
It's the same thing on this side. You
like,
know, I was so far deep. You know, I was so far deep down in there, man, and Allah brought some circumstances in my life in 2007, and it just was a whirlwind of things that just happened and happened and happened until 2008. I was like, you know, Allah brought me an angel in a suit and a bow tie and told me, hey, man, it's Farfan speaking this Sunday on the webcast. You need to come check it out. You know, and that angel made me promise to come, and I came to the mosque that Sunday, and it was a blessing, and it was grace and mercy from Allah, you know, but everybody, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And dealing with the industry, you know, there's a lot of celebrity worship. So that also gets you caught up because you want to rub elbows with these guys because you look up to them so much. That's one thing that I'm grateful that Allah blessed me with is a spirit of the opposite of that. You know, I don't see no dude. I don't care who you are. I don't care about your title. I don't care about your money. I don't care about none of that because I know I've knocked you there. I don't see you. I'm God. You know what I'm saying? And I'm grateful to Allah for that spirit because I was in a situation recently. I just came out of a record deal gone wrong. I had signed with this label. I'm not going to mention the label's name. But while I was signed, they were trying to put on this event, right? And the CEO, he inboxes me on Facebook. I see this first thing in the morning, right after prayer, right? I check my Facebook. And I don't usually check my Facebook that early in the morning, but I heard my little notification thing come on. You know, I just finished prayer. I said, well, let me see what this is right quick. And I check it, and it's the CEO of the label telling me, you know, that Young Money is going to host this event that I'm supposed to go perform at. Now, anyone who's familiar with my music knows that you're not going to put me in the same room with Lil Wayne and Drake and Nicki Minaj and these people and think that it's going to be peaceful. If you know me, you already know that. That shows you that the CEO didn't really know his artist, first of all. Well, I told him immediately, well, bro, I ain't going to be there. You know what I'm saying? You can't put the Wolverine in the same room with Sabretooth and think it's going to be all good. Matter of fact, as a businessman, you shouldn't even want me there. You shouldn't even want me in the same room with them because I'm going to ruin your event. You know what I'm saying? Because when I step on stage, I'm going to perform my records. And when I perform my records, somebody's going to say something. And as soon as they say something, I'm going to bust them in the head with the mic. And then it's going to be on and popping. You don't want that. But the average artist trying to get on, if they get an inbox like that saying, I want you to perform with Young Money, man, their jaws get wet, man.
They get happy and say, "Whoa, I'm gonna perform with Lil Wayne. Oh my God!" They start calling everybody in the world. Who they want me to be on stage with? Young Money. And see, it's because of that. That's you get caught up because you're looking at these other individuals as if they're something greater than you. But the same thing Allah put in them, He put in. You know what I'm saying? And because I know that. I don't get, you know, Young Money. We'll put, man, I don't give a damn if it's Jay-Z. Matter of fact, if it is Jay-Z, I'll go just to battle him. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
See, you know what I'm saying? Young Money, they're not big enough for me to make that move, but if it was Jay-Z, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. It'll be the worst decision you ever made to bring me on stage where Jay-Z gonna be at. Let me tell you something about my battle skills. And I hate to sound arrogant about it, but it's just an actual fact. It's not really arrogance. It's just truth that happens to sound arrogant. I never lost the MC battle. Never. Not once in my entire life, I never lost an MC battle. And I figured it out a long time ago. The type of MC that I am, because I'm so good with the freestyle off the dome, the type of MC that I am, you know, I how do I explain this? My skill goes up and down according to my opponent. I'll give you an example. There was this dude called Brainiac, right? PhD, a.k.a. Brainiac. This was in high school. He used to rap with the big words and stuff. I wasn't rapping with the big words back then. So I was with my homeboy, Charlie Brown, and we get ready to battle after school, and PhD spits his verse. And when Charlie Brown heard him, he told me, he confessed to me later, he said, "Man, I thought you was going to lose that battle," because the way PhD brought it on that first, he went first. So he lost already. But what happened was it triggered me to step up my game, and that's the way I battle. However you come at me, I don't want to call myself a master, you know, but I'm pretty much, if I'm not a master, I'm pretty close at this rap thing, you know. So, man, you put me on stage with Jay-Z if you want to. Even if you put me on stage with Young Money.
Brother, man, I want to talk to you, man. You very familiar with him. Mr. Gidget, he's a nemesis of yours. I don't know if you want to talk to him, but he's a big fan of Problem 13. He wants to come on and say something to Problem 13 real quick.
Bring him on.
Praise Let me get the brother on the line.
Who is it?
Hello?
Is he Jenny? Did he call in?
I'm right here. I'm using somebody's telephone.
You did what?
I'm using somebody's telephone. I want to talk to Problem 13 real quick.
Oh, this guy.
I'm a big fan of yours, buddy. I'm a black redneck. You already know that, buddy. And I want to say, you know, I'm very, very proud of you and everything. And I like and appreciate everything you're signing up for. And I want to say, many being a person to get into this industry or whatever, I mean, what kind of advice you got for people like me and everybody else want to get in the industry?
What kind of advice?
That's what I need to know, sir.
My advice is don't get in the industry. Do it yourself. That's my advice. Anybody that's trying to get, any young black artist trying to get in the industry, my advice is don't get in the industry. Become your own industry.
That's right. Okay, listen, we got somebody who's been holding for a long time. Area code 314, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
Alaykum salam, brother Kareem. You snuck up on me.
Well, no, I tell you, I might be a little late. I had to listen and absorb, you know, and tonight is, you know, let's be real. It's about Problem 13. It's about bringing this wisdom, this avenue of exposing our people to this wisdom and the practical application thereof, you know, that's what it's about. Now, you know, and I want to say, I mean, I've enjoyed everything I've heard. I want to share this very quickly. And it's from Message to the Black Man. It's kind of in response to several questions that were asked and even what's being said about, and exactly what our brother said. about not getting into the industry. I mean, how are you going to join on to that which is dying? Why would you want to join
the devil?
That doesn't make any sense.
There you go.
When we talk about, it's like when we talk about the economic blueprint, we have to understand that economics is not just nickels and dimes and dollars. When we look at that word economics, which comes from the word economy, economy literally means home management or to manage the home. So our economy includes all of this. For example, none of the monetary aspect of it will mean anything without correct morals or a correct moral base. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this in to Message to the Black Man on page 84. It's the chapter, it's a very short chapter entitled Islam Dignifies. He states this: why do I stress the religion of Islam for my people, the so-called American Negroes? First, the most important, Islam is actually our religion by nature. It is the religion of Allah God, not a European organized white man's religion. Second, it is the original, the only religion of Allah God and his prophet. It is the only religion that will save the lives of my people and give them divine protection against our enemies. Third, it dignifies the black man and gives us the desire to be clean, internally and externally, and for the first time to have a sense of dignity. Fourth, it removes fear and makes one fearless, as we can see exemplified in our brother. Many others, but like I say, it's about our brother now. We can see that in our brother. It educates us to the knowledge of God and the devil, which is so necessary for my people. Fifth, it makes us to know and love one another as never before. Sixth, it destroys superstition and removes the veil of falsehood. It heals both physical and spiritual ills by teaching what to eat, when to eat, what to think, and how to act. Seventh, it is the only religion that has the divine power to unite us and save us from the destruction of the war of Armageddon, which is now. It is the only religion in which the believer is really divinely protected. It is the only religion that will survive the great holy war or the final war between Allah God and the devil. There's more to it. Give message to the black man and read it. And I wanted to share that because that is the situation. I mean, just like some of the questions that were asked about how do you get to them? Well, the bottom line is it's like you just said, when they see this, when they see these individuals, because our people are still enamored with the wealth that they think Pharaoh has. So when they see the bling bling, if that's still a current term, I know the terms change weekly.
No, it's still bling bling. Term's going to stick. That term is the crackers made that term stick. They done put it in the Webster Dictionary.
Okay. So when they see that, when they see the little shiny baubles and things and have the idea that this freakish behavior is all right, that this is what happiness is, I've made it now, then we at the same time have to be able to show them material progress while standing on the principles given to us in Islam. We have to be able to communicate with them while yet standing on those principles. They have to be able to see that they do have a choice. Now, it is totally up to them personally to make that choice. But what will happen is that over time, as the youth themselves turn away from the filth, because they will do it. They will do it as long as we keep righteousness in front of them. But as the Honorable Elijah tells us in our lesson, no man can successfully teach a people that can't properly speak that people's language. So we got to come at them with their language, and then you raise them up. And that's what I see going on. So, I mean, honestly, like I said, I just wanted to share that because that's what I see in your art, brother. You know, and for anybody that's in the listening audience, in the chat rooms, wherever, that's the thing. You got Brother Problem 13 out here spitting it live. Okay. Uncut. However, you got many artists across, and if you notice, they call it underground. And I'm going to say this. the bottom line is inshallah, very soon, for those who are listening, if you love hip-hop, we are going to bring a real hip-hop network, not just a show, network to you, where it's going to be 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds every day of nothing but real hip-hop to you, so you will have an alternative to listen to.
Praise be to Allah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you for sharing, brother.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah.
Where's Sister Gidget went?
I know she's there.
I am right here. Okay.
And I just wanted to add on to what brother was saying about speaking the language of the people. See, in our lessons, we're taught, mm-hmm. you know, not to speak the baby language.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And even in the lesson that my name is named after, my namesake, which is problem number 13 from the problem book, it tells
Come
us,
on.
You know, you must speak well.
Come on.
You know, so now when we're dealing with our people from a perspective of hip-hop, we're not in the mosque. We're not in the rostrum teaching those who have accepted Islam or those who have accepted to come in to even hear what Islam is about. We're not talking to those people. We're not in the mosque right now. We're talking to the babies.
That's right.
That's who's listening to hip-hop. And I don't mean babies in the term of age. I mean baby in the term of growth and development, in the term of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You know what I'm saying? These are babies. They're not in, they don't know these teachers. So now if I'm going to step in the booth and bring them light, I got to bring it to them in a way they're going to understand. You know, when my daughter wants, you know, I say, what you want, a baba? You want a baba? She know what the baba is. That's the bottle. You know, eventually she'll learn that it's bottle. But right now she's a baby. I say, bottle. She look at me and, yeah, I hear you. It sounds familiar. I say, baba. She say, yeah, okay, that's what I want right there. You understand? So when people hear me sometimes, particularly believers, they become a little judgmental because I may cuss a little. Now, mind you, my music is never vulgar. You go through all my music, you'll never find any vulgarity. You know, I don't drop no F-bombs. I don't drop the B-word, you know. And it's, I think I dropped the B-word once, and it was in context with the lyric. It wasn't geared towards the black woman or any woman in particular. But sometimes you have to, I heard the minister say one time when he's teaching, man, just to keep your attention, I have to keep it humorous sometimes. I have to bring in some levity just to keep your attention. You know what I'm saying? So now we're talking about hip-hop. We're talking about an art. Out of all the music genres, we're talking about a music genre where award shows have been disrupted because of brawls. That has not happened with any other genre except hip-hop. You're talking about a genre where artists have been murdered because of what they have said in the booth. This is not any other genre. This is just hip-hop. We're talking about a genre of music that represents competitiveness, where people actually stand in a circle and compete with words. And they're competing to destroy the person in front of them with words. That's a very hostile art. So now I'm going to come into this art form created by the original man, controlled and manipulated by the colored man, by the devil, and I'm going to come in here now with this truth, talk to these babies in this hostile environment. Man, I'm not going to come tippy-toeing.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to come, you know, I'm not a minister. Don't make me a minister. Don't compare me to the ministry. It is a ministry, but it's not that ministry behind the rostrum in the mosque. It's in the streets. It's in the gutter. And it's a battle being fought for the minds of the babies. But how are you going to get the babies if you don't speak their language. You feel me? So now, if I come too clean, I'm corny, which a lot of our artists in our nation are, too corny. It's sad to say, it's the truth. Now these babies, they're not stupid.
I'm trying not to laugh. Oh, my goodness.
Praise be to Allah. These babies are not stupid. You know, our minister has already declared that this is the best generation that we have ever produced since we've been on the shores of this country. So there's something special about these babies. They're not stupid. They can sense game. They know game. So if you come at them, you know, and they don't feel you, if you can't make them feel you, man, they ain't interested. And see, right now what's happening today in the game is they're being felt because of the beats. See, they're feeling those beats. See, and then these rappers, even though they don't have no talent, they're throwing things on there that's very simple to pick up because they're speaking baby language, but they don't have no life, you know? It's real simple, you know what I'm saying? You know, I ain't worried about nothing. That's the whole record. But the beat is hot. And then anybody who got any stress or any problem in their life, man, they violent. I ain't worried about nothing. You feel me? So now if I'm gonna come into that environment with life, I can't come too thick. I can't come too thin. I can't come soft at all. I can't worry about getting 90 days off the mosque for conduct unbecoming of a Muslim because of something I said in my music. I can't go into the booth thinking like that. I've gotten a couple reprimands already, and when I get my reprimand, I check myself, I correct it, I say, okay, that won't happen again. But I can't initially go into it worried about that, worried about what the believer's going to think, what the minister's going to think. People ask me, what do you think Minister Farrakhan is going to think if you hear this? I say, well, I don't know what he's going to think. Hopefully he likes it. Mm-hmm. If he don't, you know, he'll call me and he'll whoop me. You know what I mean? It'll be a blessing for me because I get to meet him. Even though it's not the circumstances I wanted to meet him under, but nonetheless, I'll correct myself. But right now, I gotta come like this. This is how it gotta be. You feel me? And it don't matter. I mean, I want the believers to feel it because actually the believers are my biggest fan base. The believers are my biggest supporters right now. That's how my family is eating. So I want the believers to feel it, but I don't initially think about those that I've already accepted. I'm going after those that listen to Chief Keef. I'm going after those that listen to Lil Wayne. And well, brother, if you're going after those that listen to Chief Keef and listen to Lil Wayne and listen to Jay-Z, then why are you destroying their idols? Because this is hip-hop. That's what this is. You want the people, you got to smash who they like already. Then they start liking you. See, because hip-hop fans are fickle. They don't care. They don't really love you. They love the heat. They want the heat. And whoever got the heat, that's where their loyalty going to fall. If you don't believe me, ask Ja Rule. Ja Rule had the world in the palm of his hand. Nobody could say nothing about Ja Rule. And then 50 Cent came. All of a sudden, it was F. Ja Rule, Ja Rule Punk. Just that quick.
Hmm.
You see? So, you know, and I'm saying these things for those out there that have this mentality that want to judge and want to, you know, I'm letting you know Problem 13 don't care. I don't care how you feel about the record. I don't care if you don't like that the S word in this song. I really don't care. Get some thick skin, man. Get some thick skin.
Before we run out of time, though, Brother Prob, I want to play some more music because I want them to be able to hear some more music. And since said that, can I play the song Non-Apologetic?
Sure.
All right.
That's a perfect record,
so here
I guess,
we go
right
some
now.
Problem. Huh?
That's the perfect record for what I just said anyway. Praise be to Allah, because I'm non-apologetic. I don't give a damn.
Okay, so here we go from Problem 13. Non-apologetic.
You are watching a master at work.
Problem 13.
Payback. Music.
If I said it, then a minute. Never regret it.
Black entertainer.
is in the mix.
They drop, it's P13 with my foot in their chest nonstop. Every time I hear the shit they spit, I really get bothered. Whether they male or they female, they feeling the slaughter. They either cold, pimp stubs, or faggots hiding on the low. They rock the Satan and the stem I'm riding off the show. Jay-Z, Ross, and Wayne need a smackdown. Nicki Minaj supports Rami, not how that sound. I never back down, the righteous need to act now. Set in the stage and death the Satan is the background. Take off his head, push the forward gas and down his throat. It's P13, I'm far from friendly, homie, now you know. Death to George Zimmerman, rest in peace, Trayvon. My prayers go out to Tracy and Sabrina. Please stay strong, no justice, no peace, not in the least. Find him not guilty, he'll get God in the street. If I said it, then I meant it. Never regret it, not apologetic. If I said it, then I meant it. Never regret it, not apologetic. Come on.
On a fake garbage rapper, cause I got a track before his beat. Jump on it and make it hotter. True flames, pumping acid through my blue veins. Two chains, a slave balling in some new chains. It's yours, you spend it. You ride around, you get me. You need to get some knowledge, cause you damn sure ignorant. I scream the beats and bring the heat. It's an inferno, homie. Like holy water, you a demon, it'll burn you, homie. Take some up and for the love and concern you, show me. Minister sends the greetings, please, bro, return them for me. I'm on my game, it's a struggle, but I won't quit. Never hypocrite, the step to me, get it, don't slip. The minister wants the believers to be most high. I try, but there's believers in the mars that I don't like. And they don't like me either, but it's alright. As long as when the enemy attacks, man, we all fight. I'm at this all night, my pen on fire like a flare. Until the rising of the sun, then it's time for prayer. Then I'm right back at it with no time to spare. I speak the truth, if I offended you, I don't care. If I said it, then I meant it. Never regret it, not apologetic. If I said it, then I meant it. Never regret it, not apologetic. Come on. Follow the creator, he needs to get his face. Get the laws, the creator, bruh, Tyler ain't create shit. Like Jay-Z spitting lyrics, this to Jesus. Chop him into little pieces and leave him in his faces. I can't believe this. The sound of fist, I speak the truth as I see this. I ain't down to business, not even a little bit. Sugar coating ain't me. Cause if you love this world, you supposed to hate me. It's all good, you can keep hating. We in the days of Armageddon, and God will defeat Satan. It's the teachings of Islam that I'm about, y'all. I guess in this world that makes me something like an outlaw. But I ain't strapping no bombs to my chest. I'd rather drop bombs in a song, I confess. I'm the wrong one to test. Feel the rage in my lyrics. No matter what you do, you ain't changing my spirit. Come on!
All right. I like that.
Praise be to Allah.
But what is all that breathing right there? What's that? Is you out of breath?
The Wolverine calming down. No, never out of breath. The Wolverine just calming down.
Okay. All right. So, problem 13, we got like 27 minutes. And before we go, there's a question from... Okay, I'm pronouncing her name Jairicia Muhammad, she says. And she says that my daughter is 17 years old. She is one of the best rap artists I know. And she is ready to travel with this group throughout the country. I am afraid to let her go. She just graduated from high school. She has been very sheltered.
Don't let her go. She just graduated from high school, and she going to jump into that pool? Nah, man, the shark's going to eat her up. She's not going to come back the same. Just ask Usher.
All I can tell you, sister, is that, and I agree with you about Brother Problem, and I'm going to tell you why Brother Problem is saying that. It's already challenging and difficult for our boys, our young men. But for your daughter, it's almost like throwing her into a pit of fire.
Yes, that's exactly what
they are going to devour her.
Yeah.
They're going to devour her mentally, spiritually,
physically,
sexually, and emotionally. Yes, sexually. Forget the physical. No, we don't make it plain. Sexually.
Well, yeah, okay.
Because she's going to have to eat, she's going to have to sleep, and they're going to make her think that, hey, really, this is how all the big ones make it. That's
yep.
the game. So at 17, I would advise her to get a little more education up under her belt, become an independent artist, and do her thing. But please,
exactly.
at 17, no, ma'am, I was in the clubs at 13, and I'm telling you, I had the blessings of the FOI. You sending your baby out there by yourself, by herself? No, ma'am.
Yeah, see,
not
let me tell you about this.
Suggest.
It's just like you said, sister. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna and more than likely. And I gotta say this is the brutal truth. I gotta say it. More than likely, she's not gonna finish out the entire tour. They're gonna use her up and send her home. See,
yeah.
the whole thing sounds fishy to me. You know, does she have a record deal? Is any money came in from this record deal? Does she have a song already out? Have they put any money behind her production? Where's the business going on, if there is any? I don't know because you didn't mention it in the question. But see, if there isn't any business going on, then what's she going on tour to do? What's she going on tour to perform? You know, well, who are these dudes? You know, what label is this? What records they got out? What are they doing? What are they representing their music? You know, what are their hobbies? Their habits? Do they rap about popping mollies and smoking weed and drinking Cristal champagne and Hennessy all night? I mean, these are the things
and
you have to look into.
And who manages her? Who
See,
manages
these
her?
Are all
Who's
things,
looking out for her?
Right. These are all things that have to be considered. But even after all these things are considered, I still want to let. I want to let my daughter do it. Straight up. I want to let my daughter do it. Now, if it's legit, I got to come with. I got to come with because
right.
she's only 17. So you got to arrange it. She got to have a guardian with her. You see, if it's legit.
That's right.
It don't sound right to me, and I wouldn't let my daughter do it for anything in the world.
That's right. That's right. Okay. All right. So now the next thing I want to talk about, Brother Prob, is I want to know, are you working on any new projects? You got
yes.
anything coming up? Because before we leave tonight, we're going to listen to the new single. But
okay.
we just want to know what to look forward to in the future because, inshallah,
well,
we're praying and working on what getting you to perform and say you say.
Yes, praise be to Allah. Yes, praise be to Allah. I got the new mixtape. I'm working on the new mixtape, The Return of the Wolverine. Inshallah, I'll be in Detroit with the new mixtape. I'm working on some music videos, particularly for the new single, and also starting to put together the album, the official Problem 13 album. In all the years of me doing this, I've never put together an album because I've always wanted to do it right. That's why I'm not coming to Savior's Day with an album. I'm coming with another mixtape. But I am working on the album now. I'm affiliated with World Star Hip Hop, not World, not WORLD, not those guys. War Star Hip Hop, WAR. And you can follow them at War Star Hip Hop on Twitter. And that's WARSTARR Hip Hop. That's one R behind the war and two R's behind the star. And I'm affiliated with them with Wise Guy 360 and Militant Minded Music. And we're just going to move forward and try to make some things happen. You know, I got Queen Entertainment backing me up on the management. And I want to just say to you, Sister Gidget, that I'm very happy, I'm very proud, you know what I'm saying, and I'm very grateful for everything you've done so far to help me in my career and in my endeavor. And I think that I know that this is a new endeavor for you. I had to basically drag you into it, but I believe that you're going to do a wonderful job. You know, I believe you're going to do a wonderful job. And you know, we're just going to move
Thank
forward.
You
know, the company is Apocalyptic Productions. That's my production company. Many more artists will be coming from that production company. And it's Payback Music. And that's what it is, Payback Music.
Yes, sir. And you know what? I'm going to share a secret because I'm not, I'm always been an open book. Now, in all my life, and most people who know me, they know that I am a vocalist. And I used to sing in clubs starting at age 13. So, yes, music is my passion. It's my life. It's my first love. What few people don't know is that, but the problem, are you sitting down?
No, I got to sit down.
You need to sit down.
Let me sit down. All right, I'm sitting down.
What most people don't know is that I am so not a fan of hip-hop music. I have never been a fan of hip-hop music. But every now and then, Allah God will bless us with an artist that can come forth and get your attention. Now, in all of my years that I've been here on this earth, I've only had three artists in hip-hop to get my attention. One of the artists in hip-hop, the first artist in hip-hop to get my attention was our dear brother Tupac Amaru Shakur. He was the first rap artist that I ever went out and actually bought his CD, actually listened to an entire song from him. The second hip-hop artist to get my attention was T.I. I don't care what to say about T.I. I like T.I.'s swag. That's just my flavor. The third artist to ever get my attention in this game is Problem 13. And when
I'm in good company.
I am a devoted fan. I am a devoted fan. And so that is my motivation for supporting my brother because I believe in him. I believe in his mission. I believe in his music. He has, I don't care how hardcore Brother Prob come across, Brother Prob is a very sweet and loving brother, but he's a soldier. He's a soldier. He's very passionate about what he does, and you can hear that and feel the spirit of this man in his music. You can feel his joys and his pains. And unless you are able to hit me in my bones, When you're doing music, I don't care if you're singing or rapping or whatever, then it's not real. And
right.
Brother Paul, from the first time I heard your music, it has always been real with me, brother. So all praise is due to Allah. We thank Allah for you, and we thank Allah for what you're doing, not only just in your music in the nation, but the impact that we know that is coming from your music, because we all Queen Entertainment, Nation Building Movement, you are, you know, our artists, and so we're definitely going to get behind you 150%, and we're going to make some things happen, but you are one that we're going to get out there, even if it kills us. So,
Well, it just might kill me, man, but I'm ready. It just might kill me, but I'm ready to die.
Hey, that's right. If you don't have nothing to die for, you don't have no reason to be living.
There you go.
That's my motto.
Yeah. And I want to say this right quick, too, man. If anybody listening, you know, I'm tired of people asking me, you know, what I feel, you know, how I feel about if I get in the same circle with these dudes, man. Y'all need to be asking them that. Don't ask me. You know what I'm saying? You know, people, I get the inbox occasionally, you know, man, you talking hard, man. You going hard on Rick Ross or you going hard on Jay-Z. You ain't worried about if you ever see him? Hell no. I want to see him. Man, come on, man. Stop coming at me with that punkness, man. Stop coming at me. You know, them questions irritate me, man. I don't fear nothing, man, but Allah. His Christ and his love. That's it. And the Supreme. You can add the Supreme to that list, I fear. You know what I'm saying?
Jay-Z says he got 99 problems, but a BITCH ain't one. I'm going to be honest with you. Jay-Z ain't got to worry about those 99 problems at all. That's what he said. He said, I got 99 problems, but a BITCH, referring to a woman as a female dog, ain't one. But I'm going to tell you something, Jay-Z, if you're out there listening, which I doubt, he might be too scared to listen to this right about now, or everybody else in the industry, they don't want to hear Problem 13. You might have 99 problems, But you don't want to see these 13 problems. That's an actual problem.
You know, and it's, look, and it's understandable. Look, the reality is, fam, that these artists, they punks, but they got money, you know? So they go back to the hood, and they got some goons. Everybody around Jay-Z ain't no punk. Everybody around Kanye ain't no punk. You know, they got some killers around them that they pay to be around them. So, you know, I'm not under any illusion, you know? But at the same time, man, look, I'm an FOI, right? I got the FOIs backing me, you know what I'm saying? But, man, I got the streets backing me too, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got goons too. You know, I keep them at bay. You know, I keep them at bay because that's the world I came up out of, and I don't want to go back to that world. But they there, and they let me know. You know, they let me know. Matter of fact, one of my crazy-ass homeboys, excuse my language, one of my crazy homeboys put up on my website, there's a page where you can leave a comment. And one of my homeboys left a comment about, you know what I'm saying, don't even worry about it, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't even, we got you. Just call me. We killing anybody mess with Problem 13. That's the type of message he left on my website. But this is the kind of backing I got in the streets. So it ain't like I'm by myself, man. I'm backed by Allah and the Prophet Master Muhammad. I got the FOI, and I got real gorillas in these streets that'll put it down and put in work for me if they have to. So I ain't worried about none of these dudes, man. I'm not worried. I got the FOI in Philadelphia, Muhammad's Mosque number 12. They just waiting on me. They waiting on me to say I'm ready. And they ready to come and get in the grind with me, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, stop coming at me with all that, man. I ain't scared of these dudes. Man. I don't see these dudes. Y'all see them. I don't see them. Y'all they fans. I ain't they fans, man. So stop coming at me with, like, they got so much power. Don't nobody got more power than the law. It's real talk, man.
You better teach. And, you know, I'm just going to clarify something because I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression about what he's saying. You know, Problem 13, his first priority is to teach. But the things that they're rapping about are the same things that are killing our babies in the street because what they're rapping about is not even real to them. But it's real to some who live, you
yeah.
know, in the real hell
yeah.
of America.
Yeah.
And you setting them up for murder.
For murder in prison, man.
Because false games.
Rick Ross, I don't mean to cut you off, sis. Rick Ross don't sell no cocaine. Rick Ross has never sold cocaine. I know Rick Ross over 10 years. Personally, we know each other. You understand what I'm saying? Rick Ross was never that dude. But now you got young men in the hood listening to Rick Ross, and they doing what Rick Ross said he did to get on because they want that money. But they don't understand Rick Ross don't got dope money. He got Def Jam money, and he make it look like it's dope money. But then now, you know, he got the song Riding Around with a Chopper. So now young Jit riding around with a chopper, he get pulled over, he going to prison. But Rick Ross ain't riding around with no chopper. He up in his condo, or he in Paris, or he in Italy, or whatever the hell this industry takes him to on any given night. He ain't living that life that he's promoting to y'all. But y'all living the life and ended up dead and in prison. Jay-Z was never about that. Just Google, go to YouTube and YouTube Jazzo, who was Jay-Z's mentor. You know what I'm saying? Google Devontae, YouTube Devontae, and hear the real about your homeboy Jay-Z. Man, the man is a homosexual on the down low, and his marriage to Beyonce is business, and Beyonce never gave birth to that baby. That baby is an artificially inseminated child in another woman. That's why the baby look like Jay and don't look nothing like Beyonce. Man, y'all better wake up, man. I see you all on the social networks. Oh, JB baby, look at baby so beautiful. They look so beautiful together. Man, y'all wake up, man. The devil got you in the matrix. Unplug. Remember what you see is real. It's all an illusion to sell records. Before Beyonce got married, the industry was buzzing with rumors of his homosexuality. He was rooming with this homosexual athlete. They had a condo together in Manhattan. Everybody was buzzing about that. Why are you living with this dude? You know what I'm saying? A lot of fun style. A lot of, man, I could go on and on, man. But the fact of the matter is, man, if y'all need to wake up, man, Y'all hip-hop fans, y'all need to wake up because they playing y'all for fools and y'all playing right into it like fools.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, problem 13.
Yeah.
You got a new single out called Not What You're Looking For.
Yeah,
and
I'm not what you're
I'm
looking
not gonna
for.
Lie, when I first heard it, it wasn't what I was looking for either. There was a different twist, there was a different sound to what you were saying. So without the specific details, Brother Prop, tell us the motivation for that song.
Well, no, I'm gonna get into the specific details. You asked, I'm gonna get into it. I'm gonna keep it 100. First of all, the gloss that you hear on the record is because it's not a mixtape record. See, there's a difference between a mixtape and an album. As I was stating earlier, I don't want to do an album until I can do it right, because the album is not supposed to sound like a mixtape. What you're hearing on that record that sounds different is the polish, because it's not a mixtape record. It's an official single. So there's a polish that has to be on that particular record that doesn't necessarily have to be on a mixtape record. A mixtape record is just what it is. It's a mixtape. You know, it's supposed to sound a little grimy. It's supposed to not be all the way polished. But a single or an album is supposed to be polished, and that's what you're hearing on that. That's the difference between Palm 13 mixtape and the Palm 13 official music. You know what I'm saying? The official music,
okay,
even though I'm not trying to be in the industry, my music will always meet industry standards. There's a certain standard that you have to meet when you're releasing a record, an official record, and putting it on iTunes and whatever, and you know, and that's what you're hearing. Now, the inspiration behind the record was my record label, the record label I just left. See, there was a lot of things going on, and the investors, you know, they weren't feeling me, and it was just a lot of things going on, you know, and I'm just grateful to Allah that I'm no longer on that label, and now I'm, you know what I'm saying, I'm rolling with Wise Guy 360, Queen Entertainment, Apocalypse Productions, and we're in the building, and we're going to make something happen. But, you know, a lot of those lines in that record were shot at the record, at the actual record label. I was actually telling the record label, they wanted me to give them a record, but things weren't going how I liked. And it was not telling me the right stuff. So I said, all right, you want a record? I'm going to give you a record. And I gave them a record. And the inspiration for the record is the record label. Now, I'm an artist, so I know how to put it out there where people can't pick up on that. They just think I'm talking to the industry in total or talking to hip-hop fans in total, which I am. But what inspired the record was my dealings with my former record label.
Oh, okay. Well,
see, I want it off the label. I'm gonna say this: I want it off the label from jump. After I signed, I found out some things, and I want it off the label, and they wouldn't let me off. So that's where the title comes from. Look, let me go because I'm not what you're looking for. You're looking for an industry artist. I'm not that. So let me off your record label. Let me out your contract because I'm not what you're looking for. And that's where the title came from, and that's where the whole concept of the record came from, inspired by the label itself.
Okay, so now we're going to hear Problem 13's latest single, Not What You're Looking For.
Problem 13, most of you ain't never heard of me.
That's right.
But ain't no MC/rapper outworded me. That's absurd to me. I'm killing this track with a microphone and you become a witness to a murder scene. Murdering, garbage, crummy, bubblegummy, dummy rap. I ain't having none of that, and it's really fun in fact. I bring the true factual facts, that's the real in me. But facts are 7 out of 10 ain't feeling me. Well, if the odds keep stacking, keep the beat running. If I never drop an album, never sleep, I'll keep coming. Tapes flood the underground till the streets humming. Then I'm crawling out the sewer, cue the industry stunning. One and two and three and four. It's the Wolverine, problem 13, P13 for sure. The record business is a business about the cash for rail. But I refuse to sell my soul for the mass appeal.
You'd rather I tell you.
Drop it like it's hot, girl. Twerk that booty, baby. Back it up, let it out.
Toilet paper, fake MCs plenty. While in the midst of all the fake, recognized rage, disrespect
corrected, I fail, but corrected, I will. Treated underrated and slept on. Apologizing early and sincerely for any toes that I stepped on. I come through like a stampede of elephants. Blowing through, knowing you, brand me irrelevant. It's all good to hate Jesus, no love is lost. Holler, crucify him while they nailed him to that rugged cross. I'm in good company, never been the punk in me. Before the reaper come for me, the whole world bumping me. What else do you want from me? I'ma keep it 100. I'ma bring the truth, all other rappers seem to run from it. No preservatives, nothing artificial, I'm official. Lyricism doesn't seem to be the issue, right?
Would you rather I tell you?
Drop it like it's hot, girl, twerk that booty, baby, back it up, let it out.
Looking like the slave trained well by his savage captor. I'm a pest on the hunt, gorilla in the mist. Assassin's hire, sent to kill Willie Lynch. Coming after garbage rappers, don't deserve to hold a mic. We living in the dark age of rapping, I'm a glowing light. My flow is tight, your lyrics need an upgrade. Stand next to me holding the mic and you get upstairs. By the greatest rapper that you never heard about. Got a few fans and supporters just through word of mouth. Reaper Nation, SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter. Looking for a problem.com and I'm not wrong. Forgiving the plug, not getting the love. Written in blood like a crooked cop splitting the thug. A new day for hip hop and I'm torching the flame. I wanna get paid, but it's bigger than just fortune and fame. Hear me?
You rather
I tell you? Drop it like it's hot, girl. Twerk that booty, baby. Back it up, let it out.
All right, now what you looking for, Brother Bob? You have a lot of people on Google Chat that say they love you, they honor you, they respect you. You teaching hard, praying for your success. Okay, I'm not going to even repeat that one.
Nah, what is okay. It? What is it? Something bad or something negative?
No, it's just that you're a married man, so I'm not going to repeat that one like I said.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I feel you.
And Brother Kell said that he said that your music is what he's looking for.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah,
I thank everybody for their comments.
That's hot. That's on fire. That's on fire. Somebody give me some damn water.
Praise be to Allah.
And let me say this. I'm gonna give the audience, the listening audience on telephone one, because I've been chatting with the people in the chat rooms. Anybody on the phone, press one on your dial pad. Give you 1 minute to talk to Brother Father 13. In the meantime, Brother Pop, give us all of your social websites, all of your Twitters, and your website. And I want to encourage everyone, please go to Brother Problems' website. While you're sitting there shopping, you can jam because the music is bumping already. But go to his iTunes page and please download all of your favorite songs. You get a chance to listen to them. He got some free downloads on there. But, of course, everybody needs money to make it in this business. And so you definitely want to buy the new single, Not What You're Looking For. It's only 99 cents. But when you get through going through all the music, you're going to want more than that.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. You can follow me on Twitter at This Is Problem 13. THISIS Problem 13. This is Problem 13. The same with Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at This Is Problem 13. On Facebook, like Problem 13, like The Wolverine, and like Apocalyptic Productions. Those are all my pages, and that's where you can find me
and
you can get updated on what's going on. And Queen
Entertainment
Queen as well. Entertainment. Yes. No doubt. And also like Queen Entertainment as well. Yeah, since the Gidget, you need to make me an administrator on that page too.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. Same here,
Queen. On Queen Entertainment, yes, so I could, you know, whenever I post something on all the pages, I could post it on Queen Entertainment as well, and you know, make it do what it do. But yeah, that's where you can reach me. The website is lookingforaproblem.com. If you want to hear me on the mobile, you can go to reverbnation.com/artist/problem13 because I haven't yet made my website mobile friendly. So if you go to my website on your phone, you're not going to be able to hear the music. You'll be able to do everything else, but you ain't going to be able to hear the music or purchase anything. You got to get on actual computer to do that. But if you want to hit me on the mobile and just stream my music while you're vibing, doing whatever you're doing day in, day out, just go to reverbnation.com/artist/problem13. Return of the Wolverine, new mixtape, coming Savior's Day, February 2014. I will be in Detroit if it be the will of Allah. And, you know, I need your support, family. I really need your support.
Okay, all praise is due to Allah. And so, Savior's Day, as we know, it's going to be February 2014. In the meantime, in the between time, please hit Brother Problem 13 up on Twitter. Please go
and
to the website.
Also follow War Star Hip Hop, WARSTARR Hip Hop on Twitter. War Star Hip Hop is doing some real big things, and you want to be plugged into that. So follow War Star Hip Hop.
And also, if you're interested in booking Problem 13, please hit me up on Facebook. Y'all know who I am. I'm either Aziza Queen or Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. There's only one. Follow me on Twitter at Z65, and Z is spelled Z-E as in Eric I. Z65 on Twitter. If you're interested in booking Problem 13 for events, concerts, or anything like that, please let us know. And we'll definitely get you there. We'll make it happen.
Anybody wants to get at me, well, as far as that, please contact Queen Entertainment, contact Sister Gidget. I'm not discussing any more about shows with anyone. I'm not doing any more free shows. I feel like I'm being taken advantage of now. I'm not doing any more free shows. At the time, it didn't matter to me because I love the believing community. I love my fans, so it ain't nothing. But at the same time, life is real. And, you know, this is what I'm doing to take care of my family. This is not a hobby. So, please, you know what I'm saying, holla at the sister if you want me for a show. Don't inbox me. I'm not going to answer back, or I may answer back and direct you straight to her. But know that it's going to cost something.
In other words, it's like this. To make a long story short, you're serious about getting this brother to come to your city, your neighborhood, your community, your country, wherever. You know what I'm saying? If you're serious, you know, you can book him for a show. If you ain't serious, get the damn book thrown at you. That's all I got to say about that.
You know what I'm saying? Word up. We trying to eat over here,
yes,
man. We trying to eat, you know, and know that it's more than one ticket. You know what I'm saying? If you fly me out anywhere, well, I listen to Gidget talk to you, you know, but I have an entourage. You know, I have my son who performs, that boy Quint. I got my daughter performs. My manager, more than likely, to more of these shows, she's going to be coming as well, so she's going to need a ticket. And, you know, if we can't do a big fam, then let's not even try to do it.
Right. Yes, sir. Brother Paul, thank you. Go ahead.
I just want to know how can I be down with you, buddy.
Huh?
What is that?
I want to know how can I get down with you, buddy. I mean, you and I, we were talking in the past and everything. As a matter of fact, I trashed my Willie Nelson CD collection, and I got me some Problem 13 music playing in my truck right now.
Yeah, that's good, man. Did you buy it or did you bootleg it?
I don't know. I got it from one of my buddies.
So DJ Caesar?
I'm not sure.
DJ Black
Caesar?
DJ Black Caesar?
I can't tell you, buddy.
Okay, on that note, family, thank you so very much. Everybody who listened, everybody who joined me in Google, and I finally got Yahoo up. Thank you, believers. And family who joined me in chat room, I really appreciate it. All the callers, thank you very much. Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am.
You think you're going to sit there and just not say anything?
I
want to
thank Brother Kareem. No, but I got to thank him for coming on, for sharing. I want to thank the brother. You a student minister, beloved?
Not officially, black man.
Okay, but I appreciate you coming and sharing what you shared, man. I do. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother. I mean, you continue your efforts. I mean, this is what we got to have. I mean, the job is out with the people.
Yes.
Not sitting up in the building clapping.
Up in the mosque. Yeah, word. That's what it is. That's what's up.
That's right.
Okay, well, listen. I'm going to have to run because y'all know I got another show.
Yes, ma'am.
In a few
minutes.
So all praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Problem 13. We'll be
back.
Thank
you for having me. Thank everybody who came on and everybody who was listening, everybody who left comments, everybody who asked questions. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't know how it feels to receive love when you receive hate so much. Don't get it twisted, man. It's real hard for Prob right now. I'm anti-industry, so I get hate from inside and outside the nation. Because believe that we got FOI and MGT that are Jay-Z fans. Believe that we got FOI and MGT that are Lil Wayne fans, and they don't appreciate where I'm coming from because they love these celebrities. So, you know, I deal with a lot of obstacles, and for y'all to come on the show, take time out your schedule to hear what I got to say and leave comments and ask questions, it really means a lot to me, and it humbles me, and I want to thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you so very much. And please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. May Allah bless and keep each and every one of you as we leave you, as we came before you, and our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum.
One nation, one love. Peace.